Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Victorious Living. This is your host, Minister Janice. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently diligently seek him. Now, what do I mean by being diligent? What does that mean? Think about that. Diligent. Steady searching. Steady seeking. To learn more about him. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come today, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jesus, and we bless his holy name. Oh, God, we are just grateful today. We are grateful for many things that you are doing, God. Master, we know that the world is in a turmoil, but we know that you control everything, God. You own all the cattle on 1,000 hills, 1,000 mountains. They all belong to you, and we are just grateful, God. We know, that, God, that you allowed us to breathe, oh, God. You woke us up this morning, God. You've been with us all day, Master. You've been keeping our mind, oh, God. You've been keeping our thoughts, oh, God. You've been allowing us to see, God. Oh, Master, we are just grateful today. We are grateful, God. Oh, we don't ever get another chance to just say thank you. We just want to say thank you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us, God. Thank you for keeping our children, God, protecting them, God. Thank you for protecting the spouses, God, our loved ones, God, to and fro, wherever they are, Master. You are the one, through your grace and through your mercy, God. You have been protecting us, God. You have been keeping us, Master. Oh, God, we know that there are people that are running, oh, God, running for safety, running, oh, God, to find security, running, oh, God. We ask you right now, oh, God, that you allow them to run into you. Oh, God, we ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let them run into you, God. Let them get to know who you really are, oh, God, that you're not a Buddha. Oh, God, that you are someone that's real, God. Yes, that you're not a donkey. Oh, Master, we ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you're not a wild beast, oh, God. Yes, but you are Elohim. You are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. You are the great I Am. We ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, just as you pricked our hearts, oh, God, we ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus to prick their hearts, open up their minds, God, that they will receive you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen, amen. And we thank God. We thank him. We thank him for his many blessings that he continued to shower upon us. Yes, yes, yes. We just want to say, go and get you some water. Get you some water. Get you some water. We know the importance of drinking water, and we know we don't drink enough water. Water purifies our body. Mm-hmm. As we continue to outline the many methods of fear, many, that the enemy uses, another one that is so quiet, that's so subtle, but yet so aggressive, is doubt. And we want to focus on doubt. We want to look at him real closely. We talk a little about doubt on last week, last Friday. But here today, we see the need to stretch out on doubt just a little more. Just a little more to really highlight what what doubt is all about, what doubt is really doing. Yes, yes. No one can actually say they have never met up with doubt. Families, the doubt family, or should I say the doubt disciples. Hello? Yeah, the doubt disciples. The first doubt that we want to acknowledge is the doubt of emotions, emotional doubt, which is compassionate, which is excitable. The anguish doubt, severe, mental, the physical. The honest doubt is sincere. And the loyal doubt is committed, commitment. When you're loyal, but you're doubtful, but you're loyal. You're loyal in your doubt. Think about that. Think about it. So honest doubt. So that means when we're faced with truth and facts of the Christian message, it can really become dynamic. When we're faced with truth. See, truth has to appear wherever doubt is. Glory to God. Truth, the witness of faith. Honest doubt can be strong and yet sincere to the positive faith. See, you could be so honest in your doubt. You don't see anything else. You have the tunnel vision. You just see that this is doubt, and you're honest about it. You're innocent because this is all you know. This is all that has been brought to you. This is all that you know. And it's honest. It's not something that you just made up. So let's look at James chapter 1, verse 6. Yeah, James chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of a sea. Think about that. Blowing and tossing back and forward. I could just see it out there because I'm the instructor that love to be on the beach. So I could see the wave. I could see it. I could even feel that wave going back and forth. Think about that. And that's us. Some of us have actually been that wave. That's what this particular scripture is talking about. Some of us. Look. Think about that. Some of us have gone back and forward. We'll go this way today, and then tomorrow we'll go the other way. So we used to say you're wishy-washy. Think about that. You're back and you're forward. And then you go forward, and then you go back. So there's no stability here. None. No stability. It's unstable. So let's be clear. To engage in doubt is nothing to be ashamed about. It's nothing. There's no shame when we didn't know. When you didn't, out of complete ignorance, out of being totally honest about your doubt, you had no idea. There's no need to be ashamed. This is why we have a Savior. Are you listening to what I'm saying? This is why Jesus came, glory to God. Not just to save you, but he came to save me too. Hey, I was wretched and I was undone. I was the one that was on a crooked street. Oh, don't have me go with my testimony. I was on that road. I was on the clubbing road. Well, I need the club every day. I needed the club every weekend. Hello. Am I talking to anybody? Yes. I enjoyed sitting at the bar stool. Can I get a witness? But all glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Woo! When we were all in our own sin, when our own stuff, when we were smelling, stinking in sin, he reached down. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. He reached down, I said. He reached down. And all he had to do was show himself for me. That's all he had to do was disappear. He didn't even have to say nothing. Just show up. That was it. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. So here we see that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, you're not alone. There's nothing to be ashamed about. If you're sitting by somebody or you may know somebody, they could have been worse than you. But a lot of times we don't talk. I was just saying the other Sunday, how we don't have testimonial periods anymore. I grew up listening to a testimony, and testimonies were so awesome to me as a child. I learned a lot. Just sitting there listening to what the older people would say that God did when they didn't have food in their house. How the neighbor would come over and bring something, and the neighbor had no idea that they didn't have anything. And they would sit after the neighbor would leave, and they would worship God. They would thank him because they knew he sent that neighbor. And I would sit there, and I would say, wow, God did that? Ooh, listen to this. Today, we need to have testimonies. If you're in a place where you hear testimonies, you're in a good place. Testimonies allow you to be a witness. Glory to God. And that's what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ desires for us to witness, to not just to sit and hold it. But when we witness, we encourage someone else. When we witness, we're talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we witness, we are helping someone else who may be in a depressed state, someone else who may be suicidal. But when they hear your witness, your testimony, glory to God. Oh, yeah. I remember the testimonies, and that's why when you hear me just about every week, I got something I got to tell you. Because I grew up with it, and it helped me. I'm here to tell you today some of the testimonies that I heard. And when I would hear that, I would go home to my mom, and I would say, Ma, did you hear what sister or brother said about Jesus, what Jesus did for them? And that stayed with me. That was not something that I heard as a child and just forgot about it. No. Our job is to be a witness for the Lord. That's our assignment. When we become in the newness of him, when the light comes on, it's a new day. We are witnesses. We are disciples for him. We have a voice. We proclaim him. That's who we are. That's who we are. So we see here in the book of Genesis chapter 20, we see that Abraham and Sarah, they were traveling. Mm-hmm. They were traveling in a country, the south country, or Kadesh. Abraham told his wife, he told Sarah, say that I am your brother. Listen to me. Say that I am your brother, and I will say that you are my sister. So Sarah, being who she was, when most of the time, you know how we are as females, if the husband tells us or the male says something, you know, what we need to do, quite naturally we're going to listen, we're going to take heed because we feel he knows best, he knows what's going on, he's looking out for us. Well, yes, Abraham was looking out. He was looking out for them. It just so happened that Abraham was really like a babe in Christ. He really was learning who Jesus really was. He was just learning all about God. So he really was still on some milk. Listen to what I'm saying. He was on milk. And so as they was journeying through this area, through this country, he didn't know too much about the people in the area. So he knew one thing. He knew that he had a beautiful wife, and that her name was Sarah. And he knew that since she was so beautiful, in those days, people would kill and take your family. Yeah. So they would kill him to take his wife. But thanks be to God. Now listen to this. I want you to listen to this. I'm in Genesis chapter 20. Did I say what verse? Verse 1 can start you off. I'm just going to be paraphrasing it anyway. But here we see that Abraham was trying to be cautious, and he was trying to be the protective husband. Thanks be to God that there was someone that was going to be the protective father who was protecting them, even though he had no idea who God was. So here we see in this particular area, the men came and they engaged a little while talking to Abraham and Sarah, and they took Sarah, they summoned her because the king summoned Sarah because Abraham had said Sarah was his sister, not his wife. So here we see that Sarah was with this king. But this king had not engaged in anything that was out of order. Why? Because God came to that king and told the king what Abraham had done. And God told the king the reason why he warned him was because he didn't want anything on his hand, whereas to say that he had taken another man's wife. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So here we see, this is big doubt. Abraham, who didn't know God, he didn't know who God really was. So this is honest. This is what I would call honest doubt. Completely innocent. Innocent to the place where he felt he had to help God. Am I talking to anybody? He thought God needed his help. But here we see that the king returned Sarah to Abraham, and he had a conversation with Abraham for not sharing with him the truth, because he realized that he didn't want to have any stain on his relationship with God. He didn't want to have that. But Abraham had disregarded that, because again, Abraham didn't know the people in that countryside. He didn't know those people. He didn't know what their customs were. He didn't know if they knew God, if they didn't. And he, again, was on milk. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Yeah. Look at that. Yes. He was on milk. So this is in Genesis chapter 20. But thanks be to God who protected Sarah from that king. But see, Sarah was protected from God, and God protected the king. Really, God was in charge of the whole story. Yeah. Yes. Because Abraham, at this particular time, doubted God. And his doubt, like I said, it was innocent, because he did not know who God was. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And there are many times, but we have all been in this innocent doubt situation. We were innocent. I remember, this is me now. This is another little testimony real quick I want to just talk about. I remember when I was introduced to tithes, to tithing, giving the tenth. I couldn't believe that God would want me to give him a tenth that he gave that to me. And I, when it was introduced to me, I didn't argue. I listened. But in my spirit, I was trying to get clarity. I was trying to understand that. But I kept saying, I just can't believe God would want me to give him something back. He gave that to me. You see, because in your mindset, when people give you something, they usually don't want it back. This is the way I was raised. When I gave you something, I didn't come and I didn't ask you for that. I didn't ask you for that back. So here I was struggling with this. This was doubt that I had, private doubt, and I would never tell nobody I was doubting like this. So here I would go to the table to put up the 10, and I still had this, couldn't believe, God, you want this money. Okay? Anybody else with me? Huh? I couldn't believe it. So I was in a doubt of my own. This was my own doubt until... Glory to God. Until the Holy Spirit came and convicted me how God operates. It wasn't that he wanted me to give him the tenth. It wasn't that he needed the tenth. This is how God had to talk to me. It wasn't that he needed the tenth, Janice. He wanted to see if you would give to him. Huh? And not only the tenth, which was financial, we talk about monetary, but giving of yourself, glory to God. And when you begin to give of yourself, it's more than a tenth. Anybody listen to what I'm saying? That was my struggle. The doubt of tithing. Couldn't get it. And I know that if I had that, I'm pretty sure they have a lot of people today that deal do with that. They still couldn't believe that God would want that, and you know, and they struggle with it, and they struggle quietly. So this is considered to be innocent doubt. Yeah. Let's go quickly to Luke. Ah, glory to God. It is so much. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and it says here, an angel appeared to Zechariah, and the angel had to tell him to fear not. This is what the angel told Zechariah when the angel appeared. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid, because your petition has been heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. Glory to God. Your petition. What is your petition? Your request, your prayer that you have issued to God, that you have laid before the Lord, and you have cried out to God for a son. Well, here we see God is taking time. Woo! To special delivery. Come on now. To special delivery, allowing you to get a special delivery from the angel Gabriel, letting you know, that he's heard you. He's heard your cry, and that he's going to deliver. Can I get a witness? He's going to deliver. But the thing was, Zechariah, he was afraid. He had allowed fear to come in, and he was afraid that about this angel. And the angel of the Lord kept telling him not to be afraid. So it says here, notice that the angel wanted to bring comfort to Zechariah. He did. He wanted him to be relaxed. Before he began to share with him the reason why he was there, he wanted him to relax. You see, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not interested in bringing us fear. That is not who he is. Glory to God. God will not leave you in fear or in a state of being dismayed. I thank God. I thank him for that. Looking at verse 18, we see that Zechariah said to the angel, how can I be sure of this? Oh, this is big doubt, doubt, doubt. Doubt is showing up. Doubt is showing up. Doubt and fear are present. He wanted to know from the angel, how can I be sure of this? He said, for I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in her age too. Okay? Now, who is he talking to? Zechariah is talking to the angel. He's talking to Gabriel. Hey, he's talking to Gabriel. This is not no ordinary angel. Come on now. Think about Gabriel. Listen to this. The angel who was Gabriel went on to explain to Zechariah. That he takes time to explain. Isn't that awesome? He takes time to explain who he was. And this is what he said to him. He said, look, I'm just going to paraphrase this and I'm going to break it on down just like we talk. He said, look, I, Gabriel, do you know I stand in the presence of God? Huh? Everybody don't do that. Everybody don't have that ability to do that, okay? So he's saying here that he wasn't just any old off-the-street blowjo just passing by. I am Gabriel. I am the one. So if I come and I appear in your presence, hello, the Holy One has sent me. So he was breaking it down. Parenthetically, sometimes we all need to get a breakdown. We all need to be reminded. We all need some met, some multiplication and some division sometime so we could understand and we could remember and realize who we're talking to, who is talking to us. It's so easy to forget. So Zechariah began. Being in his state of doubtfulness, the angel told him that he will, this is what he said. Again, I'm going to paraphrase it. He's going to sanction him. And when I say sanction, you know, like the United States will sanction those countries when they have did something out of order, when they have killed people, just tore up a whole country, and they sanction them, they take their funds or take everything that they plan to give them, they take it away, they no longer are able to get it, they're sanctioned, they will do without. Well, Zechariah was sanctioned. And how he got to be sanctioned? This was his sanction. The angel Gabriel told him that since you don't believe me, you will be silent. You will be silent. You will not speak because of your unbelief. And if the angel of God appears, and he has appeared, but Gabriel was trying to reason with Zechariah. How many times has God tried to reason with us? Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this lesson. We ask you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that you strengthen us, God. Strengthen us to walk by faith and not by sight. And we will be careful to give you all praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And we say amen and thank God. And we look forward to having you back here with us on next Friday evening. And, of course, with us on Saturday and on Sunday evening with God Favorite Ministries with Pastor George. Yes, we walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name.